brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
And we found it. We feel like this is the best job in the state of Georgia with the best people.
The competition level, being competitive in everything you do.
In, week out, and you know, there's just a little different swagger about our football team right now. And
welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing show, large device or small. Nelly here, Nick over there, and round one in the books. Fun. Just when you had, 247 teams chasing after championships? 248, somewhere in there. And now we've cut that number in half, as you can tell by my...
Didn't we say 134?
That's matchup.
Yeah.
So is that 268? So it's 268.
John, I'm the wrong person to ask this.
Yeah.
You know this.
But the thing is that we are now in the postseason. We're now in season three. And card stock is my friend.
Mm-hmm. You won't be writing as much after this week.
No, but I have my history lessons that are attached to the whole thing. So,
right.
I mean, that's how this rolls.
Yeah.
We had a great matchup last time out for our round one, Colquitt County and Mill Creek. Colquitt County gets the Duke 35-24. They traveled north and the nerd clusters came through.
That's right. And now they have Grayson on deck.
That is true.
Woo! What are your quick thoughts about that? Well, hang on. From my memory, which that's not great. If they win, it's Grayson. If they win again, it's Carrollton.
Yeah.
If Carrollton... Wow.
Yep. So Harrison and Carrollton is the lower part of the upper left bracket in 6A.
Yeah.
So Colquitt at Grayson, and you have Harrison traveling to Carrollton. Winners take out. Winners go from there. And if I remember the coin flip correctly, it's the lower half.
Okay.
So that's what you're staring at with those matchups in the quarterfinals.
And Jay Lamar had a Jay.
Yeah.
Had a day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to roll off better than what it just
Jay
did,
had a day, D-A-E?
Jay had a day,
yes.
D-A-E.
Mm-hmm. 151-3 on 14 carries, so that's slightly about 11 per carry. That's not bad. Had a 66-yarder score, and I think that was the backbreaker at one point.
I'm still giggling at Sean's halftime interview.
Shooting
off his foot. I was like, I'm tracking, coach. I know what you mean with that.
Yes, absolutely.
It was so good.
Yep.
So good.
And so we had Colquitt. We had a lot of the favorites. We did have some chalk, but we had some great upsets, too. We're catching up, obviously, with our two head coaches for our matchup coming up this week with Lowndes and North Gwinnett.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the upsets we could not resist.
This is my drum roll. You can't hear it, but I'm doing it. Just
well, yeah,
imagine
you can't.
It.
Well, you can feel it on the microphone on the table.
Okay.
We go to Nashville and find out Berrien.
Go down to Nashville.
Yeah, go down to Nashville.
Yeah.
And there was probably a lot of singing going on.
Oh, man. I cannot wait to talk to Coach Dean.
Yeah.
This is the coolest story out of state. Mm-hmm. It has to be.
I mean, you're 3-7 in Region 1, Class A Division 1. Your non-region schedule is insane. Mm-hmm. And you go down, and I guess in your case, you travel up to Barnesville to take out the number two team in the Class A ranking there in Lamar County. And so a 31-2. It's like a 16 beats a 1
March. Yeah. That's what I was going after, which everyone loves those. And I can't wait to ask him this question, though. But that was the school, Berrien's second ever playoff win in school history, John.
And
you know how they value football down in Nashville
and
where Berrien is located.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you're talking about the history involving coaches like Brent Miller and Ross New and Ed Pilcher and Tim Allegood and Jackson Dean replaces Ken Eldridge. And so
and in his first year.
Yeah. I'm lucky in a first year head
cool
coach
story.
And getting that Duke, huh?
We've got some awesome stories from around the state. So I'm excited about today's show. We've got some stellar people lined up.
Yes, we certainly do. So without further ado, let's go and catch up with our first coach, and he's the home side. North Gwinnett, they get to host Football Fridays in Georgia coming up as Lowndes gets to travel. We find out what's on the mind of Eric Godfrey after a big win in round number one. North beat South. We'll find out what's on his mind heading into round number two.
Okay, Eric, you had another massive margin win for the Bulldogs on Friday night. When you walked away, how did you assess the type of play that your players put out there?
Yeah, and it was great because Coach Lamar had his team ready, and South Gwinnett challenged us very early. Ended up finding ourselves down 10-7 early second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And so our kids did a great job responding, and our biggest assessment, like so far this season, I think I might have mentioned here before, the last 4 minutes of the second quarter and our first 4 minutes of the third quarter have been really good, and it continued to be really good. Matter of fact, we scored 14, really, I guess 21 total points within that 8 minute margin. Really had a chance at a field goal we missed, but so we scored a lot of, you know, three scores in that 8 minute margin, and really kind of separated the game, if you will. So I said our kids continue to push and work and not get rattled, and so it's been.
How long did it take the team to understand that if you're trailing, don't get bent out of shape about it, we've got this plan in place, and you just stick to the plan, stick to what we tell you, everything's going to be fine? How long did it take collectively to sit there and just go, be cool, everything's fine if we just continue to apply ourselves, everything will work out, just be cool?
Right, yeah, and I think our guys, they already are at that point, knowing as far as trusting of coaches and the plan, you know, that they're a part of the plan through the week, and so they, you know, they understand it. It's more than us just telling them, you know, it's, you know, teaching. So I think they believe in the plan, all that stuff. And we kind of shot ourselves in the foot with a turnover and, you know, some uncharacteristic things that we do. And then again, credit South Gwinnett for coming out and executing the way they were executing. So I think they felt confident, you know, really the whole time. And it wasn't how coaches having to convince the kids of, hey, just stick with our plan. Mm-hmm. You know, that they were confident enough in it. And then, we ended up executing a really high level there for that end of second quarter and then all through the second half.
The deeper you go into a playoff run, do you spend the same amount of time studying as you do in the regular season? Do you spend more time on one particular aspect? Are you watching more film? Are you focusing more on yourselves with X's and O's and dry erase boards and things like that? Or is it the same? Is it less? What's your Three Bears approach to film and studying the opponent this time of year?
Right, yeah, and that's a great question. You know, because really early season, you spend so much more time on yourself. And all the corrections, but we still want to continue. Like, we still have individual time. We still have corrections. We still have those things that we do, but it's not as much time. For one thing, we're not making as many mental errors. We're not making as many technique errors. You know, at this point in the year, because we've been able to train all that. So we do spend we still spend some time on it, but it's not a majority time like it is early in the season. So we do spend more time on. As far as make sure understand our players understand what we want to get accomplished so we can play fast. And then, you know, the opponent every week, it gets a little more serious in the playoffs. And so coaches even dig a little bit more. And what other stone can we, turn over? What we don't want to do is overcoach things. And we see so much film with change and take and change too much. Then you overcoach yourself and now you're not playing fast anymore. So we always got to catch ourselves on that, because we do spend, we find the coaches ourselves spending more time, you know, on film, the opponent, and having them ready. So that balance is there. But it's a great question. The later we get in the season, the more in the playoffs we get, the less it is. Our kids understand technique. They understand responsibilities, what are, you know, our schemes. And so it is a little bit more on, okay, make sure we're executing at a high level, playing fast, and they're understanding more tendencies from the opponent.
Yeah, and, you know, we actually talked to Coach Carter about the depth of his roster. So the deeper that you get into the playoffs, how important is it to have that deep roster for the Bulldogs?
Right. Yeah, so important. Remember this past game versus South Gwinnett, started a little, you know, they moved the ball a little bit more early, and because we had one linebacker who couldn't play. So Jake went and played the other linebacker spot because the kid who stepped in to play linebacker kind of only knew this one spot. Mm-hmm. And then so we had another, but he was playing a star position for us, and we had to move him in. So then we got a new star out there, you know, but so really had only one new kid, but ended up being three different positions.
Right.
So as far as that depth, it really does matter at this time of year.
Right.
You know, there are kids that are banged up, you know, we got a couple kids with shoulders that are playing. Even my own son, he's got his patella tendons, you know, good bit torn, and he's, you know, playing through it. And so all of those things that are just, this time of year. So having some depth really does play a big, big role.
He got a big pick too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, right on the sideline. Looked like an athlete. It was kind of nice.
that's the dad in him, yes. Not the coach.
Yeah, that's the dad. What's the key to playing fast but not playing out of control? Because I imagine fast, you know, for those of us of a certain age, we can think of it as either 16, 33, 45, or 78 RPMs. I imagine you want to play at 45, because if you play at 78, you might be out of control and the music sounds all funky and it sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks. What's the key to playing fast but not playing out of control at that speed?
Right, yeah. So really we talk about two things, play hard, play fast. You know, playing hard is the competition level, or being competitive in everything you do. And then the play fast, we say play fast, but always explain it by preparation. If you are prepared, if your mind is prepared, you can play fast. We talk about playing fast as far as recognizing a formation, recognizing a, you know, a defensive set, where they're sitting, and so you understand what their coverage is going to be, so you can play fast. You know, seeing my very first key in their step, okay, now I can go play fast. So you're exactly right. It's not just 100 miles an hour out of control fast, but play fast in your mind so that therefore your body can physically play fast within the means where I'll say, hey, go make a play within the means of our system. You know, go be an athlete, go create things within our system. So same idea of playing fast, you know, playing fast within your mind, within your physical body and frame within the system. Yeah, like I said, don't overrun stuff. Just be wild and crazy and just run around and not be in position. So yeah, good question.
Well, your run game looked outstanding. You guys got about 300 yards. Conversely though, Lowndes this past week only allowed Collins Hill to get less than a yard per carry. So what type of challenge do you think that could present for your offense this Friday?
Yeah, and it really is a big challenge. Like I said, Lowndes does a good job. You would look at their scores, and you know, not many people, they don't run the ball very well. Colquitt County's got a great run game, and they did a great job versus Colquitt's run game. And so it is a big challenge. You know, they got a nose guard that does it. I mean, he's as active as a defensive lineman we've seen, getting off blocks and creating plays, and you know that. They got a safety, their leading tackler, number 10. He does a great job of, I mean, he'll roll down 6 yards. He'll be a yard behind linebackers. And it's hard to get to a guy, you know, on that depth of linebackers, but yet he's playing like a linebacker. And so, you know, number 16 for them is a fun guy to watch play. He's not real big, but man, he is physical and throws his body around. And so that they give us, they do present some problems to us. And but even just this morning, we're, you know, had meetings and film, and really got the chance to go talk offline and challenging those guys of maintaining blocks and staying on blocks and being physical up front, because you know, there's one thing, you know, if you can establish a run game, then you feel really good about sustained long drives, which is the hardest thing to do in high school football, heck, any level of football. And if you can't run the ball, you really can't sustain drives. So we do have a big challenge ahead of ourselves, and hopefully this week of preparation, we can hopefully have better success than some teams in the past have against them. It's going to be difficult.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We really appreciate it. I know that as one of the folks that has the garage door opener, know where the key is under the mat, you know that you can come in and crash all the time, and it's great that we can knock on your door as much as we do. Thanks for starting off the week with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast with me and Nick. We're going to be following along all week long and can't wait for Friday night.
Yep, absolutely. Same here. Appreciate y'all.
See ya.
One coach down, one to go when it comes to our matchup here on Football Fridays in Georgia. Next coach, big win at home against Collins Hill, 37-16. So what's Adam Carter got on his mind? And more importantly, what's on our mind? What's on our mind is food. But that's kind of second to the matchup coming up here on Friday night. Here's what Adam had to say about a lot of things that are going on at Lowndes right now and the football game.
Adam, we're going to get to the football stuff in a minute. However, there's been some big news, John,
yes,
since we last talked to Coach Carter.
Oh, that's right.
And apparently baby boy number 2 for the Carter fam is on the way. So we need to give you a big congratulations on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just as shocked as you guys. it's going to be awesome. Still pumped about it. But yeah, it's a blessing for sure. We thought we were done, and I'm getting too old for this stuff. I told everybody I'll be on, I'll be drawing a Social Security, and this kid will still be in high school. You know, I'm in trouble, so we'll get it figured out.
That's amazing. You're moving to man-to-man, so how do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, listen, I told Steele, I said, listen, man, we got to have a little brother so we can outnumber him. We don't want to be tied up in the house, so we got a 3-1 advantage right now.
I love that.
Yeah, so you got a snort laugh out of Nikki.
I mean,
out of the blocks, you got a snort laugh out of Nikki. That's good stuff. And by the way, this is how dedicated Adam is to his craft. He is in the bunker at Lowndes, and so he is locked into the cement fortress, and he's ready to go with this. It is a cement fortress.
I mean, yeah.
For anybody who's been down there.
He's still called, though. He made it happen.
Yes, he did. He got the signal out of there. Your compadre on the other sideline had a question for you, and he was reminiscing off air about the conversations that the two of you would have when you were at Grayson and that he was at Parkview.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to know the differences between Gwinnett County football as you saw it and South Georgia football as you see it. What are the differences since you've been in both now? What mm-hmm. are the differences? Eric wanted to know.
You know, I get that a lot, actually. And I think there's more different than there is the same. I think the one thing that stays the same is the kids. You know, they're still teenage boys. We still deal with all kind of stuff on a daily basis. You know, it's just, you know, those kind of things and issues and problems and the ups and downs and all that stuff. It's pretty consistent regardless of where you go. Now, we all have our own set of problems. You know, the set of problems that he deals with on a daily basis is probably a little different than mine. But it's still, the kids are still the kids, and football is still football, you know, mm-hmm. and how we prepare and all those things have stayed the same. So you try to keep that the same. That there's a lot of differences. I'll give you an example. We implemented a feeding program, and we've been going since January. I actually started cooking in January for our kids for after school, but our folks take care of it now for us. Well, my AD came in a few minutes ago, right before we got on, and said, hey, our after-school lunch ladies called out. They're sick. They can't be here today. We don't know what to do. And I called my booster club guy up, and I said, hey, I need food by 5 o'clock this afternoon. And he said, Coach, don't worry about it. It'll be there. And so, like, the support, the, you know, the people wanting to – they want – winning's important here. But the they'll do anything they can for you. My folks are awesome. Met with principal this morning. You know, I'll give you an example. Last week, I had a sweatshirt for my superintendent, and I text her and said, hey, you know, let me know when you're free, because she don't have much free time. And she said, well, I'm eating lunch in my office right now. So I literally drove my golf cart through the woods to the Board of Education office and knocked on her back door and walked into my superintendent's office to give her a sweatshirt. So, you know, those things are just different, you know, and that's the world that Molly and I was looking for. And we found it. We feel like this is the best job in the state of Georgia with the best people.
All right, so we got to get back to the food question real
quick.
Yeah,
really?
Maybe I'm just going to have all non-football questions today with you. So when you say you were cooking, first of all, I'm also going to assume when Molly hits that 7, 8, 9 month mark, you're probably going to be cooking a little bit more for her too. But what's your go-to meal then that you're cooking when you said
I got to go home tonight, so I'm not going to answer this question fully right there that you just set me up for. Let me tell you, at my house, there's not much that Miss Molly enjoys cooking. So, I'm just going to leave that one there because, you know, she'll watch this. So I'm just going to leave.
She will.
But, I started cooking for our kids. We had a little program going. I couldn't get it for the time I wanted. Mm-hmm. We have our booster club has their own kitchen in the back of the concession stand with stoves and ovens and the whole deal.
Yeah.
And so every day I walked over there, I started cooking. My specialty that the kids really liked was we did a hot chicken macaroni and cheese. They like that one.
Time out. Yeah, are the two food items separate or are they together in a bowl?
I combined them.
Oh,
yeah, made like a hot. We called it our lemon hot. I don't know if you like lemon hot wings. If y'all haven't tried lemon hot,
we're in Atlanta. I mean, come
okay.
on.
So if you haven't, then you're then you just ain't getting out enough, right? But yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I enjoyed it. I got a scar on my arm because I burnt myself. You know, I'll remember it my whole life, you know? And
it's like us with our curling iron.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There you go. You got a battle wound from cooking. Yeah. But, you know, we just tried to do whatever we could for our kids, and our ADs got on board. Our my superintendent got with our board members, and we implemented this thing through. And I was cooking for softball girls. They would come get meals after their stuff. Our football kids, it didn't matter. So it's a good deal we got going.
That's a community that you're building, Coach. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. We're trying.
See, now, I'm going to need this recipe because the boss digs the spicier foods and the hotter foods. Mm-hmm. And so when Adam says mac and cheese and hot chicken, meaning like, you know, like the Nashville or whatever, the lemon, that kind of, she's all in. She hasn't even heard this interview yet, Adam, and the boss at my place, she's like, I'm in. I need this recipe. I need to know what's going on. Or maybe we just commission you to make it and then you bring it north or something. You have completely.
I may just have to bring it with me. I may just bring it with me on Thursday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hey, have food. We'll travel.
See?
It's one of my favorite things.
This is, I mean, I'm spellbound now. I'm absolutely spellbound by this. This is the Friday meal. You know, here's what we do. Here, we figured it out. Okay. So if you bring it with you Thursday, we find a way to get it from you Thursday and we have it with us in studio Friday night.
You included us in that. Oh, heck yeah. I'm in.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If Adam's going to bring it north on Thursday.
Y'all put me in the spot here.
All you got to do
is
cook the food.
What if the kids were lying?
Put it in Tupperware.
Yeah.
And
bring it north.
Okay. Yeah, bring it north. We'll figure that out. I feel
John,
like we owe him.
I'm going to do what I.
Hey, John.
Yes, Jeremy.
Yeah, you know what? Since we're talking about food, I would volunteer myself to drive somewhere to pick up. If I need to pick up some of this.
Not all heroes.
Hot chicken, macaroni and cheese. No. I think I could do
that. See, our producer, our executive producer, Ambassador Jeremy, has just piped in, as you heard. And he's just literally, I think he's going to just go ahead and do it.
Yep,
and
done.
Just go ahead and get it from you if you bring it north.
Done.
Do you see the community that you're building here, Adam?
I'm going to eat it mouthful talking on camera come Friday night.
Absolutely true.
That's just how it rolls.
Yeah, I'm here for you guys. You know, I always have been here for you guys, and you come first.
Well, I hope your players and your coaching staff comes first, and Molly and Steele, but we'll slide in right there at like sixth place.
Yeah, look, we're sixth.
Okay.
Do we want to actually ask a football question?
I was waiting for the, yes, I would love to ask a football question. So, Adam, I know you know Eric well. I know you're familiar with, obviously, Gwinnett County football. When you look at North Gwinnett and the season that Eric has put together in such a short amount of time, what problems do you think they're going to present to the Vikings, and how do you adjust?
Yeah, so... Coach Goffrey and I had a great relationship when I was up there. I felt like, you know, in the coaching world, sometimes you have those relationships and sometimes you don't. And so he was one of the ones I felt like we could call each other and bounce stuff off of. And he did a great job at Parkview. We had some battles when we were there. And, you know, he has a tremendous staff. So my OC from Creekview 2018, Todd Faulkner's over there. I know what kind of job he does. I know some of the other coaches over there that have been there a long time. And, you know, I think that I told our coaching staff this yesterday. I said, we haven't played a team that is better coached than what we're about to go into. And when you know, Coach Reese came down from Gwinnett with me. He had some affiliation with like the Mill Creek feeder program and those kind of things. So, you know, he was talking about, and then Coach Sellers came down to meet with me as well. And we were talking about, we saw this group. We brought a freshman group over to play them my last year at Grayson. And we saw some of these kids as freshmen, and we knew they were going to be good. They're big, and I think that's the biggest thing. I think that job in Gwinnett County is such a good job. They have kids that they have means to be successful. They have trainers. They have talent. They have the ability to get what they need to be successful. They just have what you need to be a good program. And now with Coach Goffrey over there, I mean, this thing started a long time over there at North Gwinnett. Now, I remember with the Bob Spire years, mm-hmm. Bill Stewart years. I mean, that is a job that a lot of people wanted over there. And so they've done a tremendous job. You know, we're blessed with the opportunity to go up there and get a chance to battle it out with them. We know it's a tall task for us, but again, hopefully we'll be ready by then. They got a really good football team. You look at what they've done this year. Obviously, they, you know, had to hiccup against Douglas County, and after that, they haven't looked back. And so, you know, hopefully we can go up there and slow that offense down a little bit.
Well, we are looking forward to an entire week of macaroni and cheese. But no, from all of us here, from me and from Nick and everybody here at GPB, congratulations on the reveal. Congratulations on the addition and what it means to the entire family down there. Thanks for everything that you've done for us, everything you do for us. We can't wait to have the car wash with you this week, have all the
Carter wash.
The Carter wash, that's true.
Yeah.
Where we get to get all the intel with everything Lowndes, and we can't wait to see you on Friday night, my friend, and on Thursday, because we have Thursday a loose appointment for a pickup.
Jeremy does.
Well, yeah, but I mean, don't be surprised if there's like more of us that just go to sit there and just kind of have the wafting. We can't thank you enough, especially on short notice, to do all this stuff and the cooking. So can't wait for everything this week. Thanks for dropping by the podcast. You are a true friend of us here all the time.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to seeing you. Go Vikings.
There were a couple of upsets in round number one that a lot of folks stood up and take notice about. Washington Wilkes was one of those. Centennial was one of those. And the one that we wanted to kind of shine a light on was down in South Georgia as a team South traveled north. Berrien, first-year head coach in Jackson Dean, they traveled to Lamar County and got a win as Team 31 in the bracket. So what's life like in Alapaha, Nashville? Time to find out. We go to Berrien, Jackson Dean.
So, Coach, before I ask the most obvious question.
Yes.
Of everything that happened this past Friday.
It's a dollar fine in the jar.
I want you to set the stage. Describe to us about the Berrien Rebels, who you are, what you guys are about, the location of where you are in the state, and how big of a win that meant for you, your team, your community on Friday night.
Yeah, so we're in Nashville, Georgia. The real Nashville, as most people say. down here, just north of Valdosta and Lowndes, you know, pretty close to Coach Carter and them. You know, we're a small school, about, you know, 750 kids, single A school, playing a brutal region, really tough teams, pretty much the SEC of single A football.
Yep. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, it was it's a small town, great community, great kids. Great facilities, you know, they're doing it the right way, and you know it's just a pretty unique area, but a pretty neat area as well down here nestled in South Georgia. You know, obviously it's good football down here, and everyone cares a bunch, and you know it's a place that you definitely want to be at as a coach, and I'm blessed and fortunate to be here.
And I know that we could probably spend a great deal of time with your history. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can do an abridged version here. Before you were there, it was Cook. And you were there as a part of Cook, and everybody knows that the region, the old Region 1 AA, and what that means. You spent time at East Coweta, spent time at Hillgrove. You've been in the college ranks at Northwestern, which is an entirely different set of skills that you learn there at Northwestern State with the with what that program has to face. Valdosta State player for the 07 title game and a South Gwinnett grad. Did I miss anything?
No, that's it. Hit the nail on the head.
So,
you missed Lowndes. I was at Lowndes for 2 years.
Okay, so Lowndes at 2 years. So, I mean, you know about South Georgia football, and for those that might know Berrien, it's Coach Eldridge. Before him, it was Coach Pilcher, and it was a chance for Ed Pilcher to go home for his last coaching gig. You go into this match. What was it like preparing for Duke Ellington and Lamar in that 2-31 matchup going into last week?
Yeah, well, they're obviously a really good football team. You don't luck up and go 10-0. That's for sure. You know, they were tough. They were big, strong, fast, physical. I mean, they checked all the boxes. And so, you know, we were just trying to pump our kids up the whole week, you know, just making them believe that we could do it. You know, that we belong. That's kind of what we've been preaching all year to them, is that, you know, they belong just like anybody else. And so the kids, they bought into it. They believed in what we were doing, and they knew we had a shot going into it. And like I said, it was fun. You know, we came out for pregame warmups, and you know, as a coach, you kind of get a vibe and a feeling about what's about to happen and take place. And you know, it was you definitely feel it in the air, and it was like, all right, we got a shot tonight. So it was unbelievable to watch them play.
Wow. Did you communicate to them that you guys were a 32-point underdog? Were they aware of that? And if so, or if not, what was your message in getting them pumped up?
Yeah, so we were definitely aware of that situation
Okay.
on there, but no, it was you know, it's the same thing. You know, we've been preaching all year to the kids, just, you know, you belong, you know, you're the same as everybody else. It's just a matter of going out there and proving that and playing as a team, playing as one heartbeat, and that's what they did. And so, you know, that was our kind of rallying cry for this week was leave no regrets, leave it all out there on the field. And, you know, at the end of the game, you know, we'll see what happens. But if you go out there and pour your soul into it and do what we're capable of doing, we knew we could win, and the kids knew that we could win, and luckily we pulled it out.
Real quick, I want to know, in addition to that, what was the response from the fans, the team, the community, the administration? What was the response immediately after the game? And I mean, did anyone go to sleep Friday night in Nashville?
No, absolutely not. I think it was more shock than anything. You know, I think everyone believed we could do it, or wanted to believe that we could
Yeah.
do it. But it was exciting. It was exhilarating. Everyone was going nuts. You know, got an ice bath, which was great, except it was freezing cold, and 2.5 hour ride home, and I was like, I have zero changes of clothes. And so
Oh
that was yeah. So, but it was fun. It was fun.
You mentioned, I mean, this was a game that was 7-0. I mean,
Yeah.
literally, this was like you score early and you hang on. You hang on for the rest of it. I mean, what was it like for you and the staff? You get that early score, and we know, like I said, we know what Barnesville means. We know what Lamar County does. We know what Duke Ellington brings to the table. What were the conversations like with your defense this entire time with that 7-0 lead, telling them to, and I'm not going to say hang on, but just maintain, because it doesn't sound like
Right.
it was a hang on, hang on, hang on kind of a thing. It was keep doing what you're doing, stay the course, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, and you know, we scored. We actually scored on a trick play, the first play of the game, right out of the gate. And so, basically, I just turned to our defensive coordinator and I said, "Hey, man, we're done for the night on offense. You just go ahead and finish this out." But no, it was, you know, our defense has been, you know, battle tested for sure. With the teams we play, you know, we've had our struggles, but we really just put it on them, and just kind of told them, you know, it's a challenge to you guys all week to step up, and you know, we're going to try to keep the game plan simple and do what we do, but it's about us communicating and playing together as a team instead of individuals. And that's exactly what they did. It was unbelievable. 2 weeks of practice for them in preparation. They were calling out all the plays before they were running them, and you know, that's what we wanted. You know, that's what we've been a big part of our mantra is just communication and believing in one another, believing the other guy next to you is going to get his job done. And they went out there, they believed and communicated, and good things happened. And Coach Doug Kane, he's our defensive coordinator. He did an excellent job putting the plan together. And, you know, he's been preparing them all year for these type of moments. And, you know, they finally got to show out and show them what they're really capable of doing.
Coach, they got the job done. And this is Berrien's only second playoff win in school history. Coach, how do you move forward and keep that same momentum and just keep this train going?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna keep doing what we're doing. You know, you know, a lot of people have asked this, and it's like, we're not gonna change what we do. We're gonna keep preparing the way we've been preparing week in, week out. And you know, there's just a little different swagger about our football team right now, and their confidence level is high, and that's good for us. You know, we obviously, like I said, you know, we belong. We knew that, and now people are starting to realize that we do.
Nothing like having this happen in your first year as a head coach in the state of Georgia, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild.
What was it in this point of your career where you sat there and it's like, yeah, I want to be a head coach. I think I'm ready for it. And what was it about the Berrien job that attracted you in the first place?
It's a great question. I mean, I'd gone after a couple others. I was one of those, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, going after jobs. And so luckily, you know, the job came open. You know, being at Cook, I'd played them for 3 years. And it was one of those jobs where you look across the field when you play them, and you're like, golly, there's something about it there that they've got something. You know, as a coach, you're always confident and cocky enough in yourself to say, you know, I could change that. Yeah, I could be that change. But no, when it came open, I knew I had to jump on it. You know, knew it could be in a place. You know, I compared a lot to a Pierce County and kind of what they were able to do. And so, like I said, when I got here, the community, they bought in immediately. The players bought in. And so it's just been a very good situation for me as a first-time head coach, because obviously I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. But luckily I was able to bring in some guys to help me out. Coaching wise, and you know, the administration's been phenomenal here. We got a new superintendent. He came from Camden County, and so obviously he had coached football over there, and you know, he gets it and understands what we're trying to do as a program, and so he's helped out a ton. And so it was kind of like all the pieces just came together for me here, and it was just good timing.
So who's on your speed dial when you have a question? It's like, you know, I have a head coaching question. Who do I call? Who do you sit there on your phone and go, like, hit number one? Who's on that speed dial?
I've got a couple. The guys that I work for, you know, Byron Slack, he's one.
Yep.
He's the one I probably do the most complaining to. Me and him like to call each other, to each other about stuff. But no, he's a phenomenal coach. John Small at East Coweta. And then Randy McPherson at you know, he used to be at Lounge, but kind of the three.
Does Randy actually give you like answers longer than 7 seconds at a time?
Absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. If you know him, when I first met him, I was like, this dude, like, he hates me. Like, there's no doubt he does not like me. But after you get to know him and you understand his style and the way he is, you understand. You're like, man, this dude is awesome. Mm-hmm. He's an unbelievable coach. People take for granted a lot of what he did at Lounge, and just being able to build that and the culture he set there was unmatched. And I mean, when it comes to football, there's no one better than listening to Randy McPherson prepare and get people ready. And it's just, I was very blessed and fortunate to be able to coach and work with him.
Well, speaking of preparing and getting ready, you got Rabun County on deck. What are your initial thoughts for that matchup come Friday night?
He's leaving tomorrow, probably, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you look at the coaching staff, Rance Gillespie and Bill Stewart, and you're like, wow. Yeah. So that's already two things we got to overcome is the unbelievable amount of wins that those two guys have compiled throughout their coaching careers. But then you flip on the film and you realize, man, them kids, they fly around and they absolutely get after it, and they are relentless and they are tough and they're well coached and their discipline is just unbelievable and they're athletic. And so, you know, it is a big task for us getting ready for them and preparing for them. But like I said, our kids, they believe, they got a strong sense of confidence right now. And you know, they're going out there and they want to keep proving to the state that we belong and that we are a good football team. And hopefully we can go up there and we're going to just, you know, lay it all out there for us and see where the cards fall.
294 miles from Berrien High to Tiger and Frank Snyder, 5 hours and 5 minutes is what it was listed as in a normal situation.
Because Atlanta's not normal.
No, it's just bypassed the whole thing.
Yeah.
So how do you logistically do something that's 294 miles and 5 hours and 5 minutes under normal car? How do you figure this out?
Is there
one
a Buc-ee's
out?
Close? That's always a fun field trip.
Buc-ee's is a nightmare field trip. I don't know if with the football team, it's a nightmare.
Fair enough. I have three kids under the age of 8. It is equally 100%, a nightmare.
No, I got two. I got 200. Like, for a family, phenomenal. Great pit stop. For 50 to 60 football kids? Absolutely.
I'll take a brisket sandwich.
They'll come out with just bags full of stuff.
Socks.
T-shirts. There's no telling what they come out with.
Slippers. But
no, logistically, it's tough. It's definitely kept me awake these last two nights trying to figure out what we're going to do. You can go up there and stay in a hotel the night before, or you can bus up there. I think we're going the charter bus route, leaving early Friday morning. We're going to try to treat it like a day in school where we're stopping about every hour and 45 minutes, get out, move around, walk around, mm-hmm. do something, then go on to the next stop. I know we're stopping at Mill Creek up there before the game. Coach Lovelady was actually my offensive line coach in high school.
Aww.
So he helped us out. So
they were our game of the week this past week.
Coach Lovelady, he's an awesome dude. You know Coach Calhoun, he was actually a graduate assistant in my first year of Valdosta State, so I got connections to both those guys. So just two good guys going up against each other.
Quick question.
Uh-oh.
Did Josh wear shorts all the time when he was your offensive line coach?
Absolutely.
Like, did he ever wear pants?
No. And you got to understand, like, he could be like a real offensive line coach back in the day at South Gwinnett. And he was not only shorts, but I would dare to say he was in a cutoff shirt every single day, like zero sleeves.
I love it.
Wow. Yeah. He was that guy, which was awesome because he was I was 100% scared to death of him. He's a giant human. Once you get to know him, you realize he's a big teddy bear. He is. But like at that moment, when you're a freshman and sophomore, before he went to Mill Creek with Coach Jarvis and them, it was just like you saw him and you were like, oh, please don't yell at me today. I do not need this.
Coach, this has been an absolute joy.
Absolutely.
To talk with you, to get to know you. What you're doing is absolutely incredible down in Nashville. And it sounds like, I mean, we just talked about some incredible coaches that you have access to, that you have relationships mm-hmm. with. And it just sounds like you are continuing on this trajectory that you're just going to go far. And we can't wait to continue to cheer you on and watch you as you just take the coaching world by storm as your first year head coach. It's been fantastic to follow.
Well, I appreciate that. But, it goes back to these kids and them just buying in and just believing in what we were preaching when we got here. So, mm-hmm. nothing but thanks to them. Thanks to my coaching staff. And I'm just blessed to be here.
Well, thanks as always for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We know that there were parties in Nashville and Alapaha on Friday night. And just drop by anytime. It's great to catch up with you and can't wait to see what you're going to do up there at Rabun County against the Wildcats this Friday. Looking forward to it. Thanks for dropping by, Coach.
All right, thank you so much, and go Rebels.
John, just to put it into perspective, so they're traveling from Nashville, Georgia to Rabun County, 295 miles.
Yes.
Sometimes when you talk big distances, it's hard to put that in perspective. So
okay.
Where we sit in Midtown Atlanta
Check.
Is 293 miles away from Panama City Beach.
Let's go! Let's go!
They're driving further than the drive from Midtown Atlanta to Panama
They're
City
They're going
Beach.
Into the Gulf at this point. If they were leaving here, they'd be in the Gulf of Mexico.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. That is great perspective. Thank you. And gosh, a bus full of those kids?
Uh-huh.
Traveling. I mean, it's like when you're flying on an airplane every however many hours and they bring you, water and snacks and
uh-huh.
and the lavatory.
Uh-huh.
That's a long trip for a lot of dudes.
See, we have an interview, Ambassador Jeremy, where we actually got multiple snort laughs out of Nikki. This is a show where I think the over-under on snort laughs was about 4.5, and we went over.
Oh, I love it. And the show's, look, as we're recording it right now, the show's not over yet.
No.
So, yeah, let's see how many more we can get.
See?
Challenge accepted.
There you go.
John just has to be really funny since all of our guests are gone now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so our game this week,
mm-hmm.
it's North Gwinnett and Lowndes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to get. And when you have coaches that come on kind of quick turn from when they've been on before,
yeah.
it's like, all right, so what do we ask them outside of the X's and O's stuff? And so to be able to hot chicken mac and cheese.
John is not. He's God, poor Patty. You're going to mention hot chicken and mac
and
cheese
there
all
going, what
week.
Are you having? What are you eating?
No, she's gonna. If she's me, she's gonna be like, what time am I getting this?
Clock ticks, man.
Yeah. When are you bringing it to me?
She is absolutely locked into this idea. Okay, behind the glass. We need a show of hands and or voice, because show of hands on audio doesn't really work that well. Show of hands. The idea of Adam Carter making this hot chicken mac and cheese. Does this work well with everybody?
Do we have to take a vote on that? I feel like it's obviously
some folks might be.
All right, so Marky Mark is a yes.
Yeah.
I'm a yes.
Okay.
King James? We got the unnamed intern. He's a yes.
Okay. All right, cool. Good to know.
What's Kevin's nickname?
G-Money.
G-Money. G-Money, what are you? He's a yes.
Okay.
King James? Oh, he's
a thumb sideways?
Thumb sideways.
Thumb sideways from King James.
You know what? I bet it'll be changed after you have it.
I know. See, this is what we're hunting for.
I love it.
But yeah, Barian and Raven, Team 31 taking on Team 15, low right as you fill out your brackets and pens. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be one of the matchups, obviously, that we're going to be looking at. Worth County and Bleckley in Class A D1, Heard County Social Circle, Fitzgerald and Dublin, 9-8 matchup in AD1. That's going to be great. But yeah, you look at that AD1 bracket, Team 31, low right-hand corner.
That's like chicken scratch.
Well, it's Barian. By the way, it's Barian.
Got it.
Yeah, so Barian makes their way through. What else is on your mind before we get out of here?
Ooh, what is a... Okay, we just talked about the talk of the state upset.
Yeah, well...
What's maybe brewing for this Friday?
Well, I mean, we had, Washington Wilkes make their way through as a 3-seed beating Seminole County. Mm-hmm. You'd have Washington Wilkes. Can they keep it going at Bowdoin? Something like that. Jenkins County going to Sly County. Warren County and Wheeler. Wheeler has been unbeaten in Alamo this year. ECI and Clinch, that's old school. Charlton and Screven, old school. Mount Zion Carroll is a 2-seed. Can they go down to Blakely and take care of business against Early County? Brooks County and Johnson, by the way, that is not a second-round matchup.
It's not a second-round matchup.
But it is this year. Anyway. Okay. So Brooks County is a 2-seed, and everybody's looking at Brooks County's record, and they're going, they're 500. No. They schedule themselves that way on purpose so they can be ready for stuff like this. If you have the private schools, Athens Academy was off for a month.
A month. Yeah. Yeah.
A month.
Is that okay? Because I know a few have been 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. What gave them the fourth? Was their bye the last week of the season?
Yeah.
Wow. That's tough.
Yeah. And they got Holy Innocence in that matchup.
That's welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome back. Holy Innocence goes to Athens Academy. Landmark and GAC, Prince Avenue and Wesleyan. This is like old school. This is like a bunch of old school rivalry matchups here. Fellowship gets Mount Vernon in the 16, Christian Heritage and Savannah Christian, the 8-9. Savannah Christian's really not an 8, but because of power rankings, they're an 8. And so they get Christian Heritage. Christian Heritage, by the way, is Dalton. So Dalton to Savannah. I don't know if Jeremy can do the math on that one. That might end up like halfway to Bermuda or something like that.
I'm about to make an idiot of myself. That's not 294 miles. That's less than.
It's less, but it's still a hike. It's like going probably from
you're not fully in Panama City. You might be close to the panhandle.
Yeah. So yeah, you're kind of like you're at I-10. 10 or 16.
Oh, you're the Florida guy. You should know that.
You're wrong. No, I'm not the Florida guy.
You're wrong.
Oh.
Dalton to Savannah, 337 miles.
Wow.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Not me.
So you're ending up like, wow. So that's another 40 miles further back. So it's like going from, say, Buford to La Vila or Spinnaker?
I don't know the comparisons, but that has to be the furthest drive for a matchup.
That has to be.
I don't know how you can get any greater than that.
Unless you were like Northwest Georgia, like Gordon Lee having to go down to the swamp or something like that. But that's crazy. That's just, I mean, literally, you got a lot of great matchups, and we couldn't be happier to be able to showcase them all. Nikki and I are going to be on we're going to be on briefly in pregame.
Briefly in pregame.
Just to let folks know that we're going to be around.
We're going to give them a hook.
Yes.
And then the ladders at halftime.
And then the score is in the postgame show.
Can we just talk about how much fun the postgame show was?
Oh, it's a blast.
I said it was fun. G-Money is back there, a.k.a. our boss.
Big boss man.
He might have other opinions. I don't know. But
hey,
I thought it was a blast.
Yeah. So kickoff on GPB, GPB.org, the GPB Sports app. Mm-hmm. That is going to be 7:30 air, 7:36 pregame. Mm-hmm. Nikki and I will be in there. We'll dive in a little bit. Then we'll be back at the half. Then we'll be back for post. catching up with coaches all around the state, caught up with Daniel Bruner after another four seed got a win.
That was incredible. Anytime we get a coach that's still on the bus, and mind you, we could hear him so clearly, it was as if he was not on a bus full of teenage boys. But then he turned said camera, and we saw said teenage boys, but we did not hear them. How did he keep them so quiet after a massive win like that?
He told them you're going to take laps or do up-downs or burpees, I'm sure.
Listen, I was so he's obviously been a friend of our show. So excited for them. That was a massive win.
Big win for them. 5A is just littered with matchups. Lee County and Hughes, Gainesville and Brunswick, Hoco and Rome, Milton and Jackson County.
County, that they won its first playoff game in 46 seasons this past Friday.
See what we have here?
What?
And it's only round number two.
Round two.
So let's see. Let me. Ambassador Jeremy. So who was behind the glass? It was what? Marky Mark. It was you. It was G Money. It was Unknown Intern. And it was King James.
And what's Mark Chillis?
There Goes Tokyo, Mark Chillis.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't ever remember that.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a Blue Oyster Cult reference.
What would my nickname be?
What? I mean, you're Nick.
Okay, that's fine.
It's just Nick.
It's fine.
It's Nick and Nelly.
Nick and Nelly.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And so that's another go-round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. With all of us to all of you, that's how this goes. Once again, reminder, big matchup. GPB, GPB.org, GPB Sports app, all the GPBs in the social media, 7:30 at Tom Robinson. It is Lounge traveling north to take on North Gwinnett. We'll have everything covered, round two of the playoffs, right here, all in one place, multi-screen experience. Promise, it's going to be worth it. For everybody here, to all of you there, thanks for hanging out for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. Play safe, everybody. Enjoy your games.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.